Hey, everybody. Welcome to Wellness Myth, the podcast where we take a hard look at the nutrition and wellness industry through a no bullshit lens. My name is Emily, and I'm an anti-diet, intuitive eating, registered dietitian, and yoga teacher.
And my name's Vanessa. I am also a registered dietitian, and I specialize in hormones. Emily and I met back in college when we were studying to be dietitians, and we basically never left each other's side since the moment we met. And post-grad, we haven't really left each other's side either. We live across the country from each other, but that hasn't stopped us from being business partners and talking almost every minute of every day.
Let's get into this week's episode.
We have some big news on the pod that we're excited to share with you all. Can we share?
We can share. I thought you were going to talk about our group. I thought this was about our group coach.
Oh, we'll talk about that too, because that's also big news.
Like, it is.
But less big news because you guys already know about it. If you're a frequent listener, you already know about the group program. But if you're not a frequent listener and that sounds super interesting, stand by.
Yeah. But yeah, I got a new job. I'm going to be doing telehealth services for people. I'm really excited about it. And I feel like it's just going to give me so much more inspiration for our episodes, seeing a larger volume of patients per week. And I can't wait to see what myths they bring me in session and what we can kind of continue to explore.
It's exciting stuff happening to the Wellness Myths pod.
Really is.
Other like news that's happening with us. Oh, we were talking about this before. We'll talk about the group program.
Just hang tight.
Emily brought this up, and I feel like we haven't talked about this on the pod yet, but we should because it's a current event. How expensive groceries are.
Oh my God.
I mean, this has been ongoing, obviously, but wow. Wow, wow, wow.
You know what? I'm like kind of thinking, like in my head, I'm like, we need to do some kind of like budgeting, like episode or like something about that, like how to like combat inflation and like keep your nutrition on point. Because I was like at the store today, like doing all of these, like, okay, what can I do instead of this, and thinking of all these substitutes, and like I realized, like, oh my God, not everyone knows about like how to do this. Like, I think there's so much knowledge we know as a dietitian, like to be able to eat in a way that aligns with like a million different kind of parameters and goals. And so I think that could be actually a really good topic, because Jesus Christ, it is so fucking expensive.
Yeah, I agree. And that sounds like an episode you want to hear. DM us, email us, and be like, freaking do it. We'll probably do it anyway, but I just like hearing from you guys.
It's one of those where you're not totally sure like how beneficial it would be. So it would help us if like you pressured us to do it. So if you want us to reach out.
Definitely. And I don't want to spoil anything, but I just do want to vent about one thing, and then we'll move on from this and we'll talk about what this episode is actually about. But probably my biggest issue with inflation is the price of the egg. And Emily, as a vegan, probably is less familiar with this, but you've seen it in the news. And this is so frustrating to me, because eggs have always been a really pure protein that was cheap and like something that people could count on as a cheap protein, and they're not cheap anymore. And that is just really upsetting. And I was telling someone the other day, when you check out at the grocery store, a lot of times the grocery store clerk, teller, cashier, that's the word I'm looking for, grocery store cashier will take a peek at your eggs and just make sure none of them are broken. And before, when eggs were like a couple dollars, I'd be like, I don't even really care if they're broke. You know what I mean? Like, you lose one big deal. And now I'm like, yeah, you better check those. Like, those are like a dollar each.
It's crazy. I was literally, you know, it's so funny. I don't think I've really ever thought about the price of eggs, but I at the store today, I did, because I was like looking at the like vegan liquid egg, and I was like, wow, like I never thought I'd see the day where like these are like slowly, steadily getting cheaper than like chicken eggs. And that was so surprising to me, because I think for a long time, like it's been like very out of reach. And I don't think that's like a good commentary on like the cheapness of like the vegan product. I think it's just like about how it's like insane that that other cost has gone up so much. So
we definitely
need to do like a little episode about this.
Yeah. And you should be buying, if you can, eggs from a farmer or someone who sells eggs near you if you can. So find your egg hookup, because those people, they are slowly catching up to inflation, but my egg gal is still at $3.
Wow. That's
true. And I'm like, you need to raise your prices. I almost gave her a $5. It was her husband. I almost gave them a $5. I was like, how much are they? And I almost gave him a $5. And he was like, oh, not that much.
Wow. That's crazy. Yeah. Find your like underground connection, I guess.
Yeah.
And then our other quick note will be that our group coach is starting next month. It's all focused on intuitive eating and hormone health, and we would love to have you. We still have space, so let us know if you're interested in that, and we will have a nice chat with you and see if we're a good fit.
Yeah. And when we say hormone health, I think sometimes that confuses people a little bit, and I think we should clarify, is hormone health is so much deeper than just hormones. Like, hormones are just signals. If there's something going on with your hormones, there's something going on with something else in the body. So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about blood sugar. We're talking about stress. So those are all big pillars in the program. So we are very excited to have you. Like Emily said, reach out, let us know. If you're not sure, just have a little chat with us. We're happy to chat with you. If it's not a good fit, we want to find that out. So don't sit there and just wonder.
Totally. Absolutely. Okay. Should we talk about our episode? Because I'm pretty excited about this one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's do it.
So today we're going to talk about how to read a nutrition label. And this is something that is so universally experienced by everyone that literally anyone will get benefits from this episode. I think it can be really confusing, and a lot of people are kind of like looking at it in kind of an incorrect lighting. So there's so many like different things to look at. And I think what I find is most helpful is kind of just going like line by line and seeing like, okay, what are you looking for in like each like category. So I mean, unless you're driving or something like that, don't do this, but you could totally like get a nutrition label out and look at something and kind of look at it along with our episode, and that might be helpful for you.
Yeah, that's a really good idea. Actually, I think this is something, like Emily said, people are looking at nutrition labels all the time, and there's a lot to look at back there, and depending on the product you might be looking at different things. I know when I'm looking at certain products, I am not always focusing in on the same things. It depends what I'm looking for in the product itself.
For sure.
Yeah. And before we do that, I need to bring up juice, because this is something that Craig, my husband, always has this like big shock factor. If we're ever at the grocery store together, he loves juice, and but he'll turn it around. He'll look at the nutrition label. And every time he freaks out, because he goes, oh my gosh, it has so much sugar. And the thing is, you're looking at juice, expect a lot of sugar. If it's all fruit, it's going to be a lot of sugar. There's just no getting around that. If you're like looking at more of a cold pressed juice and you want less sugar, it's going to be mostly vegetables. But if you're looking at a fruit juice, going to be a lot of sugar. And there's just no way to get around that. So he's always like, oh my gosh, it's like 25 grams of sugar. And I'm like, yeah. That's it, babe. Like, that's what it's going to be. That's what it's going to be for juice. Well, if you do want juice, expect a lot of sugar. The next line is going to be added sugar. And that's actually something that they added like in the last couple of years. That was not always there.
Yeah.
I love that they added that added sugar.
I will, and let me tell you too, I think this was like at the end of college for us. So it was not in the last couple of years. It was like 6 years ago. So I don't want to bust your bubble there, but like it was like a while ago.
Time's flying. College was just a couple years ago.
Was it?
Yeah. I don't know. My crow's feet don't say that, but anyway.
Oh my God.
So the added sugar, great line, especially if you're looking at something like juice. There's going to be a lot of sugar. You can expect that. But does it have added sugar? And that might be something you can decide. Maybe you don't want the added sugar. And fair. But Either way, you're looking at a fruit juice, going to be a lot of sugar. Yes, it is sugar from fruit, but it is sugar nonetheless.
And it's like, you can look at that too. Like, most juices will have no fiber in them. And fiber is kind of, like we've talked before, like slows that intake of sugar. And so, I mean, you're looking at juice, and this is why I think it's just hilarious that like everybody thinks juice is such this like unparalleled, like healthy product, because I'm not trying to like shame juice or anything, but it's just like, it's not really true. Like, if you are losing out on a lot of that fiber, and sometimes, like, you know, maybe you don't need like, you know, 30 ounces of green juice. Like, maybe you quite literally don't need that much food. But anyways, so should we kind of start from the top of the nutrition label?
Yeah. Are we going to look at the silk nutrition label? And after silk, I think we should talk about cereal.
Oh, 100%.
Actually, this episode is just dedicated to Craig Schiffelbein.
So he's going to talk about cereal too. Okay, great. Love it. So we'll leave, like, you know, I'll leave a little link in our show notes to this label too, if anyone's curious, but we're just going to kind of use it to go off of. And I always have a lot of thoughts about non-dairy milk anyway, so you'll get to hear those too. So when you're kind of looking at the nutrition label, it's going to have your serving size first, which is important. And serving size is not like the amount that you're supposed to eat. I feel like that's like a big myth with it. Like, it's not saying like, oh, like you have to have this. It's just like the comparable amount. Like, it doesn't really have anything to do with like, this is the right, correct value for you. And people are like shocked by that always.
Yes, yes. They have to have a metric to show you like what is in this product. So it may be sort of ambiguous. So that's the thing too. Like, people see chips and it's like the serving size is chips. Well, that company also wants to put like, they want their product to seem low calorie and things like that. That's what people look at. They're going to look at the calories. So yeah, they're going to put 5 chips. Is, you know, 20 calories, and people are like, oh great, this is a low calorie.
Exactly.
That doesn't mean you should only eat chips. Who's gonna
do right? Yeah, no one's gonna do that. Or 7. I feel like I see 7 chips a lot, and I'm like, what the hell is doing that?
I feel like they're probably like 7 is a little closer to 10, like,
yeah, so then only 10 and it's
throwing on the bone a little bit,
right? So as you kind of go down the label, you're going to see like total fat. You're going to see percentages of daily values. Those are usually calculated on, wait, fuck, it's 2000 calories, right?
Yeah, I think typically they do it on 2000.
Okay, let me just re-say that then. So you're going to see your daily value percentage on the right-hand side, and that's going to be like what percent of your calories for the day should come from that, right? So like, they're usually doing it off of 2000 calories, just a nice midpoint. Your calories are going to range. It's going to be really different. So it wouldn't be something that like you're looking at like, oh my gosh, okay, well, I had 6% of my fat in this label and then I had 20% here. It's just kind of a general guideline to let you know like, okay, these are the components of the food. You know, and then as you're going down, you're going to see different types of fat. You might see saturated fat. That's one that you hear about a lot with cholesterol. And so sometimes people with higher cholesterol, you're limiting saturated fats, any sort of elevated cardiac lab type situation, you might want to be looking extra carefully at that. And some of them will list other different types of fat too, like the Silk soy milk does that, but I don't think all of them do. Usually it's just like total fat and saturated.
Yeah. So as far as when we look at like saturated fat, trans fat, polyunsaturated fat and monounsaturated fat. So the unsaturated fats are going to be like the fats that are room temperature. So you're looking at like olive oil, your oils. Saturated fat is similar to butter. So anything that's going to, or like lard, that's going to harden room temperature. Coconut oil. Yes. One gets left out a lot because people typically think of coconut oil as a health food, and I'm not saying that it's not, but Emily's gonna have a lot to say on this. Wait, I know she is.
No, I'm excited to talk about that. But also, I remember, do you remember in undergrad we were in medical nutrition therapy, and one of our classmates who's a listener brought in like their can of coconut milk to show us like how much saturated fat was in it, and we were all like, whoa, like this is crazy, like we were just learning about it. And I remember our professor was like, yeah guys, like it's crazy like how much
saturated fat is in coconut, and like people just don't talk about it, yet people just go on and on about the saturated fat in like beef or something. It's just, it's so hilarious to me. And like, I think it's just sort of potentially because of like vegan propaganda, but like, it's just, yeah, it's so funny. Coconut oil is totally saturated fat. And like, if you're having cardiac labs that are elevated, like cholesterol or triglycerides, like you definitely want to look at that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So as far as if you're looking at a label, so saturated fats is something that is definitely okay to consume, but you want it to be at a moderate or lower amount. You want most of your fats to come from an unsaturated. And then really you can avoid, like, we don't need trans fats or really nothing good about them.
And there's not very many products that have them. It's more like a processing thing. And then it's definitely kind of going out of style. So
I feel like people know that trans fats are not it.
Yeah.
So and you really don't need, or, and if it does have trans fat, like what is it? Like, do you want to eat that?
It's so uncommon that like it's very you will not be seeing it very often. And I think there was enough vilifying done of it that like people are scared to like put it on their label and be like, yeah, we have this.
Right. And it's crazy. You change quick bond and it becomes a whole different fat. I mean, we won't make this chemistry class, but it's kind of
like, yeah, it'll get too boring. But yeah. And then you're going to see sodium after that.
You skip cholesterol.
Well, because cholesterol, they don't usually, this is more vegan propaganda. Like, that's really what it is, because they want to say zero. Like, okay, this is turning into like a vegan hate episode.
No, but I just think we should mention this for cholesterol, because this was also something for years that was a misconception, is that dietary cholesterol was like equal, like if you eat more dietary cholesterol, your cholesterol would go up. That's true. So,
right.
Dietary cholesterol does not affect your cholesterol.
Right. So now moving down to sodium, this is another kind of cardiac related lab, or it can be rather. And salt, I feel like, also gets kind of a bad rap, even though like we need salt, like it's an essential part of our diets. I think just kind of looking at the sort of amount that's of salt that's in it. Like, I have a patient right now who like they had higher blood pressure, higher cholesterol, and they're like, why does every protein shake have so much sodium in them? And I'm like, oh, that's weird. And I'm like looking down, I'm like, yeah, like they really do. Like every single one has like a pretty like high amount of sodium.
I actually did not realize there was a lot of sodium in a lot of protein powder. Is this protein powders or protein shakes?
Kind of both, but mostly protein shakes. My theory was just like, it's like either like some electrolyte replacement as well, if it's like a post-workout thing, or my theory was like to make it taste good, because like they kind of don't taste good. Like otherwise.
Honestly, my theory was the same exact thing, like those two things exactly, is that if the product is being formulated for, and I think a lot of protein shakes are, formulated like with the thought of someone's using it like either pre or post workout, adding that as an electrolyte, or like you said, make it taste better. Salt is, I mean, if you don't know about salt, watch the documentary Salt. What is it? Salt, acid, fat, heat.
I think that is right. It's definitely like, I think it's just what I really want people to take away from this is like, you need salt. It's okay if something has salt in it. You know, you're going to want to stay around like 2000 milligrams a day, but it's not something to be super worried about if you're not like seeing those elevated cardiac labs in your blood work. You know, it's something that's important. So don't stress too much about the sodium.
Yeah. And like just a note for salt too is, if I'm working with a client that is like burnt out or something like that, I'm like having them put salt into a drink and drink, because if you're burnt out, you're burning through a lot of electrolytes. So that's just a quick plug for salt, because it's always painted in such a negative light typically, and people are kind of scared of it. It's not something to be scared of. Yes, you don't want to just be like consuming wild amounts for no reason, but it's not something that you can't. Most importantly, it makes things taste better.
Absolutely. Like, if you're willing to, like, okay, like you're more likely to eat vegetables if they have, like, some sort of salt or, like, seasoning or whatever on them, like, great. Like, we're happy about it. It's just going to be a totally individual situation for you to ideally discuss with a dietitian.
If you're asking me to eat a roasted vegetable without salt on it, like, no, thanks.
Yeah. Yeah, that is not happening. But I'm sure a lot of people are trying to do that. And next, we're going to have our total carbohydrates, which I feel like Vanessa is good at explaining this part and how that breaks down into, like, fiber and all of that. So I'll let you take this.
Yeah. So when you're looking at total carbs, when we're looking at the silk, it's 9 grams of total carbs. And that is a pretty low amount, but it also doesn't tell the whole story, right? So fiber, as we mentioned, is a big part of that. It's going to slow down the release of the, you know, sugar into your system. So we're looking at how much fiber there is in there. And then it's going to show sugars as well. And then included sugars. So for this particular label, it has 2 grams of fiber, 6 grams of sugars, and 5 of those grams of sugars are added sugars. So basically what this tells me is, I mean, 5 grams of sugar, not that much. There's a little bit of fiber and there's not that much carb overall. So this would not be high carb or like something I worry about spiking my sugar. It also has some protein, which we'll get to later. So if I'm looking at that portion of it, not that big of a deal. If we were looking at something that's higher carb, that's going to look a little bit harder at one. I'm going to look at those included sugars a little harder. Like, if
wait. You keep saying included sugar, but it's added sugar. Right?
Added, yeah. It's because this.
You're seeing because it says includes. Yeah, I know.
I just can't get past it. Yes. Added sugar. So I'm looking at that added sugar a little bit harder the more that total carb goes up, because I want to know what's making total carb. Is it like a whole grain? And if it's a whole grain, that dietary fiber should be quite higher too. So you're looking at all of that in conjunction. So I don't want you to ever look at a nutrition label and think it has 35 grams of carbs. No way. Okay. Well, what are those 35 grams of carbs?
Also, really? that loud noise that you just heard is Vanessa, like, just being super passionate, like, about it, like, banging around. So there you go. Just so
I know. Maybe an audio medium isn't the best for me.
A little late to be discovering that, yeah, but I think you do.
We make it work. But yeah, so you're looking a little bit harder at that added sugar number. We're going to talk about carbs when we talk about cereal in just a minute here. So let's say something has 35 grams of carbs, which, you know, originally you're thinking, it immediately in my head goes to, like, that's just over 2 exchanges.
Like, that's not that much.
That's funny. Not that much. So it's not a crazy amount. It's like a meal level amount if it has about 30-ish carbs. But is it all carbs? Is it all sugar? Like, is it just added sugar? Okay, like,
that's
gonna be different. I don't know. That's going to be different. Or is it 35 grams of carbs and it has 10 grams of fiber? Those are 2 completely different, like, wildly different.
And what's, I think, is, like, important to the consumer is, like, you're going to use those foods in different ways. Like, number one, if all of those carbohydrates are sugar, it might be a dessert. Okay, mm-hmm. I'm not surprised at that. Like, that makes sense. You know, if it's something that, like, when you're looking at it, you're thinking, okay, like, if it has added sugars or if it's just low in fiber, that's going to be quick energy. Like, that's going to give me a lot. Like, you'll see that on, like, a pre-workout or, like, something, or, like, those gels that you, like, eat when you're running a long time or whatever. Like those types of things. Like, you're going to see clear sugar because it's energy and you need energy to burn. Like, it makes sense, right? Or if people have low blood sugar, you don't want something with fiber right away. Like, you need to, like, pull that blood sugar back up. So a spike sometimes is great. Like, you're using that for that. But other times, okay, you want long, sustained energy. Fiber is going to be a little bit more your friend there.
Yeah, this is exactly why we tell, like, diabetics to keep juice in their fridge all the time. Because if they have a low blood sugar, which obviously if you're not diabetic, this, you're not like getting a low blood sugar to a dangerous amount like they would. But if they have a low blood sugar, we want to spike that as quick as possible. And what can we do that with? A pure carb. We want no fiber.
It just goes to show that like there's literally reasons for everyone to do different things. And so like you could never say like, oh, if there's no fiber in it, it's just so bad. Like you just can't. You just can't. So I think this is like the nuance that we can give you in this medium of a generalized podcast.
And actually, maybe I'll talk about cereal right now since we're talking about carb anyway. So here's where Craig comes back into play. So Craig loves cereal. Craig loves having a bowl of cereal at night, and he's sitting very close to me so he can hear me talking about him. But when you're looking at buying cereal is one of those things that typically sugar, it can have a lot of sugar. So it's kind of something you want to watch out for. Obviously, it's going to be a little bit higher in carb. It's not atypical for a cereal to have about 10 grams of added sugars. And for a lot of people, especially Craig, I feel like he's going to be really mad that I continue to say it. Like, he's not necessarily eating the cereal for, like, extra nourishment. It's for, like, enjoyment. Maybe sometimes it's because he's hungry, but like he enjoys eating cereal. So you want it to taste too. And that probably means it's going to have some added sugar. So when I'm looking at these different labels in the grocery store, I'm thinking, okay, all of these are going to have some added sugar, probably about 10 grams. So how much fiber do they have? And then how I'm picking between them is what has the most fiber, because I'm looking for something that's not going to be like a complete blood sugar spike and isn't going to leave him feeling like happy after he has his bowl of sugar cereal, but it's still going to taste good. So yes, it's going to have added sugar, but I want it to have some fiber, and I also want it to maybe have a little bit of protein.
I think what you're saying too is it's like looking at a label not to be like, okay, this is rigidly like how much sugar I can have. Like I can, you know, only have like 50 grams of added sugar a day. That's like what they calculate the percentage with and stuff. It's not really like that. It's just like, where do you want to spend it? Like my patient with the sodium filled protein drinks, this person would way rather have sodium on like French fries. Like they would way rather like spend their sodium elsewhere, because to them, like it's not making that big of a difference in the taste of something otherwise. Or like, oh, there might be a protein powder that has less sodium. Great. Then they can have that, because it's not like they're getting the satisfaction that comes with it through them, right? Like for me, I'm not a big cereal person. So like when I'm looking at cereal, I'm thinking like, okay, it has to be high protein. It has to be lower in sugar, because like I'm not having it because I like it. Like I'm just having it as like a pure utility food. So my approach is just going to be totally different, because like I'm not having it like it's a pleasant way I'm eating. It's fine, but it's not going to be like my favorite meal. It's a desperation meal for me. So like personally, like that's what I would look like. It's going to always be different because your use case is going to be different in each and every single person. So I like that example.
Yeah. And it's something too that like if it's between something that has 10 grams of added sugar and no fiber, and 12 grams of added sugar, but 4 grams of fiber, this is the one that has some fiber in. Like, even though it's a little bit more sugar, I'm choosing the one that has some fiber in it. So it is nuanced. It is, like, we can't give you cutoff first.
And then lastly, you're going to see the protein value at the end of your nutrition label. Good rule of thumb could be like about 20 grams of protein for your meal. So for example, the Silk soy milk has 8 grams of protein, which I love because not all non-dairy milks have this much protein. So soy milk is definitely a great choice for you if you are vegetarian or vegan and you're looking for a little bit of extra protein.
I feel like that's probably the most insidious about non-dairy milks is that, you know, people are really, again, they're looking at calories only, and they're seeing a really low calorie option, maybe for something like almond milk or something like that, and that is fine, but it's not going to have it's low calorie because it doesn't really have anything. And so if you're eating a more sugary cereal, you would want to be eating it ideally with a higher protein milk. So if you're eating with almond milk, it's again something where we think with blood sugar, you're getting a bigger spike because you're consuming less protein.
Definitely. I think that's like, that's a good rule of thumb to really try to be looking for that protein. Like if something's a little bit higher in protein, like that's going to be great. And then kind of moving down to the bottom is they're talking about different kinds of nutrients, and different labels will have different nutrients on them. Some labels like to brag, like if they have a lot of a certain specific one, they want to put it on there and show you that. And it's really important too. You know, this one, this non-dairy milk is like amazing. I just can't sing soy milk's praises enough because it has 30% of your daily calcium in it. And that's a really good number. And as well as 15% of vitamin D. But you're going to see different nutrients labeled on different products. And they're just including the ones that they deem to be most pertinent for you.
B12 is also popping on here. I did not realize soy milk had so much B12, or at least silk. That's really cool too. And something that I, you know, obviously they are marketing that, you know, especially if they're looking for vegans or vegetarians, B12 is really important, especially for that subsector. So that's great. Has some extra there.
Totally. So we kind of just took you through the nutrition label and how we usually go about reading it. One thing that I just want to touch on is there's something else called nutrient content claims, and these are regulated by the FDA. And there's different sort of, there's nutrient content claims and a health claim. And these, there's a lot of regulation around these because you really want to make sure that consumers are getting accurate information on their food. So like, you know, for example, when it comes to calories, it would be like low calorie. Okay, that means there's a standard for that. They're not just making that up. It has to be 40 calories or less. It might be reduced calorie or reduced sugar. It means it has less than 25%, at least 25% less than the original comparable product. So that kind of goes all down the line for like low fat, reduced fat, all of those things. And it, sodium, like there's different standards for that, whether it can be a low sodium food or not. Just an easier way for people to be like, okay, like if you have cardiac lab elevations, then you need something that says low sodium. So you might see these types of claims on foods and just know like they're not just pulling it out of thin air, but there's definitely a lot of claims that they are pulling out of thin air, like a superfood or, you know, like wellness boosting, like anything that doesn't have like a literal, like very scientific term behind it. It's questionable for sure whether that's something that they can fully make that claim by.
Yeah. Honestly, there's a ton of those. A lot of times it's like promote, like it starts with promotes blank. And that doesn't necessarily have to be by anything. I would hope that most times like they have something behind, you know, them saying that like there's a certain ingredient in there, something like that. But promotes is a big one.
What I see so much of and what makes me think, especially after like honestly just doing the podcast, is it's like, okay, like matcha, it might promote this, but you having this product once a week isn't going to move the needle. Like, so I think it's just something really to think about when you see something like, I don't know, all I can think about is bone broth right now. I don't know. Like, oh, promotes like collagen production, or I don't know, whatever the fuck they want to say on those. It's like, okay, sure, but having it once a week, does it do that? Like, I don't know. And so the like lack of specificity on those is like kind of your first clue to be like a little bit suspicious. Like it might have something to do with it, but it's not going to like cure your whole life and change, you know, your skin elasticity and all of those things. Like it's just, you just really have to kind of look at it critically and be like, okay, if this isn't something about a macronutrient like fat, carbs, and protein, if it's not something that says like, you know, something very specifically like heart healthy or something like that. Like those things all have sort of regulations and guidelines, but the random sort of things can be very confusing for people. And there's no such definition for a superfood. I just want to say that like a billion times.
Also, circling back to our beginning conversation about the cost of groceries, can we talk about the, well, Emily's not going to be familiar with this, but cost of bone broth is also wild to me because bone broth is a very simple, like, inexpensive thing that you could make at home.
You know, like, who you have to thank for that, though.
Yeah, I do. I sure do. Does anybody know? We'll give you a minute. It starts with a G.
Yeah, we need like a like timer tipping down, like really type though. Of thing.
Okay, we're gonna wrap this up because it's going way too long and it's past my bedtime, to be quite honest. But I just gotta say real quick, Gwenny P is coming back into the conversation. Our friend Gwyneth Paltrow. Did you always see her court case?
Oh, I've seen like a lot of random footage and pictures of her. And yes, totally. I've seen a bit of content.
So if you're unfamiliar, apparently, allegedly, Gwenny P was skiing and she hit some guy and like gave him a concussion. I'm not laughing about concussion. I'm laughing about what's to come after this, but gave him a concussion. Apparently, like, was really hard on him. Like, he couldn't work anymore. Who knows? I'm sure, like, maybe it was blown out of proportion, maybe not. He said his girlfriend broke up with him because it, like, changed his personality. Again, if it was to this extent, God, wow. Who knows? Like, maybe he's lying. Yeah. Maybe he's not. But
the court of moral decide for us.
What I saw is that, so apparently Gwyneth smashed into this man and then like he is like laying on the ski hill concussed, but then she was like asked her ski instructor to check on him because she had to go have lunch with her family. And people had so much to say about that because they're like, she doesn't eat.
Yeah, like, was that an excuse? Like, fresh. She doesn't really eat lunch. Oh my God, that's
and then just one more thing about this. So then there's footage of her sitting in the stands and there's like a lawyer questioning her and they ask her if any damages were caused to her from this accident. She looks dead ass up at this lawyer and goes, well, I lost a full day of skiing.
What?
This man is telling her, like, it's completely ruined.
He's like, well, like, sorry you missed your day on the slopes.
Wow.
She needs some good PR team. She needs, like, a little crisis management or something because I'm between sure the, like, tired. IV and everything that we talked about last week with her, she's just... It's
honestly
hard for her.
It's bringing her more fame. Like, look at we're totally. Talking about it. We're broadcasting this, and like yeah. people are gonna
we
look
talk about
that
her a
up.
Lot.
Yeah,
yeah, so, they are.
I mean, good for her.
We're part of the problem. We're part of the problem. We totally are.
But anyway,
hopefully you learned a lot about nutrition labels, and you will be able to look at things with a little bit more knowledge and nuance.
And we will be back hopefully every other week with more topics like this or topics that you send to us. We just got a request for food addiction, so that may be coming soon. And stay tuned for more from us.